Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk with a person who has made something special happen in her life. Tonight we talk about how do we help underachieving youngsters or youngsters with behavioral problems in grades 6 through 12 to achieve their potential. How do we lift their confidence and motivate them to do the best they can so that they can graduate from high school and perhaps go on to college and, most importantly, lead successful lives? My guest this evening was a successful member of corporate America with a deep interest in children and had always wanted to become a teacher. She not only became a teacher, but became the successful founder of an organization called Phase 4 Learning Centers, which in 2013 had 206 high school graduates. The dedicated staff of Phase 4 Learning Centers has helped over 1,500 students earn their high school diplomas and achieved a 98% graduation rate. To help us understand how she made her dream come true is my guest this evening, Terry Suwika Reed, CEO and founder of Phase 4 Learning Centers. Welcome, Terry Suwika Reed.
Thank you, Ellie. It's a pleasure to be on your show. I truly appreciate this opportunity.
Well, tell us, how did you get started with this interesting Phase 4 learning? What does Phase 4 stand for, Terry?
Phase 4, first of all, it stands for working with the four areas of an individual's life, which would be their academic, social, behavioral, and their future planning needs. That's the basis of Phase 4, and those four components are what we try to meet with every individual student who comes to us.
And how did you get started with Phase 4? What prompted you to see a need for Phase 4 learning centers?
I think 20 years ago, I didn't anticipate it leading to Phase 4, but I had a life-changing experience for me personally that definitely changed my direction and path. As you mentioned, I was a corporate controller for a German corporation, and during that time, in 1989-1990, I was very young and had a very strong corporate career on the horizon, but I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and the prognosis was very, very grim. They had given me about 6 months to live because it was a very rare form of breast cancer never seen in a young woman before. So at that point in time, you can imagine that if someone gives you that type of news, it takes you aback for a moment.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
But I found this in many ways in life, that sometimes you have a split second that either you accept what's told to you, or as you said, you take what happens in life and you make it something different. And so rather than just give up and give in, I chose to go back to college. With the time that I had left, I just felt a very strong calling to go back to become a teacher and to help kids. I didn't know that what the future held. I just knew that I had to go through a protocol study on experimental medicines, and I made it through that with a lot of prayer and an excellent doctors in medicine, and I believe a very strong mission. I'm still here today.
Well, that's a wonderful and inspiring story. And you gave up your corporate work. You left the corporate world.
I did. You know, Ellie, I felt that at the time, while I was in that position to help companies make millions and billions of dollars, which there's nothing wrong, you know, in that type of a field, but I wanted to do something that was lasting, that would impact lives. And kids are our future. Our youth comprise about 30% of our country's population. that's our future, and I wanted to make what life I had remaining, I wanted to invest in our future. So that's I went back to college and earned my education degrees, my administration degrees, and became a certified superintendent as well in the state of Pennsylvania. I did my student teaching. This is kind of twofold. The first part was the breast cancer diagnosis, which changed the direction from corporate to back to college and education. But the second part was when I did my student teaching. I did my student teaching at a school in Steubenville, Ohio, in the sixth grade classroom, where I met the sweetest youngster that I could ever have imagined. But he was a very troubled and disadvantaged youth, and it opened my eyes and my heart that there's a whole other life out there and a whole other type of population of individuals who struggle each and every day to come to school. And so meeting this young fellow, that then redirected my already redirected path to one of alternative education, not just strictly traditional regular education.
Can you tell us what there was specifically about this little boy that motivated you? Did something happen, or how did he come to grab your attention?
Oh, you know, he would come to school, and he would walk in the door every day with the greatest smile. I always say the smile that would light up the darkest corners of any room, but he never was prepared. He wanted to come to school, and he wanted an education, and he wanted a future, and he could dream about it, but he didn't have the tools or the support necessary to make that happen. All he had in his life were challenges to be able to even come to school, but yet he just wanted to be accepted. He wanted help. He needed that.
And how did the teachers in the classroom regard this young man who came unprepared with his homework and other things?
Well, you know, it's like so many. They're dealing with in inner city schools. The teachers, there are so many demands on the teachers with the classroom, and in a classroom of 40 and 50 students, they did not have the time that was needed to help this one young single boy or many like them. And plus, oftentimes they've seen such failure that, you know, they don't have the energy or their own resources to invest any longer at some times
situations. So what did they do with this little boy when he came unprepared?
He was always out in the hall. They always put him out in the hall, and until one day I said, "Do you mind if I help the boy in the hall?" And they said, "Why?" I said, "Well, because he's always in the hall and he's not in the classroom, and I just would like to have a chance to work with him." So they granted me that approval, and I started to develop a rapport with him. But it was interesting, Ellie, because just as a teacher asked me why did I want to help him, when I went out into the hall and introduced myself as Mrs. Reed and that I was there to help him, he looked at me very quizzically and bewildered, and he said, "Why?" with the same response.
So the little boy said, "Why do you want to help me?"
Yes.
Ah.
He didn't understand why. He had never had anyone approach him to help him. So, you know, that started a very strong relationship between the two of us, where we had to kind of figure out where each of us was coming from, and he had to learn that he could trust me, that I was there to help him earn his education and get him back into the classroom so that he wasn't always in the hall, because he had become comfortable with that. That was kind of where he always was.
We're going to continue in just a few moments, but if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life, and my guest this evening is Terry Sweeker Reed, who is the founder of Phase 4 Learning Centers in southwestern Pennsylvania. That's the Pittsburgh area? Is that the Pittsburgh area, Terry?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. We are statewide.
Ah.
But my corporate office is in Pittsburgh. I have two Phase 4 Learning Centers in Allegheny County, one in Beaver County, one in Harrisburg, and then two in Philadelphia.
So you have really expanded.
Yeah.
So tell us the results of this little boy who was sitting outside, getting used to sitting outside and waiting for nothing until you came along and showed him that he could achieve something. How did that happen, Terry?
Right. That was, as I said, it was 20 years ago. It was 1994 that I met this young fellow, and he is now 32, and he works for Phase 4 and in Allegheny County, and he mentors students and helps them because he can understand where they're coming from. He understands what they have to go through every day to come to school. And he, like all of my staff, all of the Phase 4 staff, have this intuitive gift to truly connect with the kids. But this young boy now is going to be 33 years old, a young man with a family of his own, and is ever so grateful for the fact that I took the time to go out into the hall and just say, hey, I'm here to help you.
So he became, you were able to, shall we say that he saw that with you he had an opportunity to be seen as who he was and what his potential was.
Yes, and I think oftentimes so many of our kids, they don't really have the belief in themselves, and even though they can dream of what they want to do in life, they don't have the opportunity or the exposure. They don't have enough within them to believe in themselves that they can make it happen.
And this young man, not only motivated him, but he saw opportunity, and he succeeded in class, and he found himself.
Yes, yes. I'll never forget the first A that he made in the class when he was brought back into the classroom and was able to get his homework done because I had begun to tutor him. And it was really interesting, just the response. You know, the entire look on his face was, he was finally feeling that self-worth and acceptance, and that he could achieve what so many other students were achieving, because he was now being helped and being prepared. And that makes all the difference, I think, in the world, is that support system that kids feel, to have someone believe in them and maybe go that extra mile, you know, just to make sure that they can accomplish what it is, even if it's an A on a paper.
Well, that sounds very exciting. And from that, he went on to not only evidently he graduated high school, he went on to college and became a teacher himself.
Well, he did graduate from high school. He went 2 years to college and studied criminal justice. He's not a certified teacher. He's a mentor.
A mentor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and a facilitator in the classroom.
Well, we want to say that this is a very exciting program, and we want to learn more about the specifics of the program and perhaps a few other examples of young people who have really made success as a result of participating in Phase 4 when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
WDIY is proud to present the 14th annual Heart of the Valley Antique Show on March 1st and 2nd. Come see 25 exhibitors featuring Americana, including quilts, textiles, pottery, painted, country and formal furniture, toys, and much more. The show will be held in the historic Charles Brown Ice House in the heart of historic Bethlehem. For show hours, directions, and ticket information, visit WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening we're talking with Terry Suica Reed, who is the CEO and founder of Phase 4 Learning Centers. And we were just talking about this young man, Terry, who was he in the sixth grade?
Yes, he was at the time.
And he was in the sixth grade, and he came unprepared, and he was sent out to the outside to sit outside, and you made contact with him, and as a result of that contact and work with him, he is now a mentor in the Phase 4 programs.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, Merle was the seed that started the Phase 4 Learning Center, my vision for Phase 4 Learning Center. After working with him and earning my education degrees and working, I worked 6 years in the public school system. I wanted to work with, I really felt led to work with the kids who are struggling, who need a non-traditional approach, yet a very quality education with certified educators and counselors. And so I formed a nonprofit organization. It's a 501c3 nonprofit organization in order to partner with school districts to provide alternative education services for their most at-risk students.
Well, this I'm sure this was welcomed by the schools. Did you have any difficulty in convincing them?
Not really, Ellie, because the way we're structured, we're not in competition with the school districts for their children or for their state dollars. What our goal is, what Phase 4 is, we're completely mission-driven to help the kids in partnership with the school districts. So that while they refer students to us, these children remain on the school district roster while they are placed with us for alternative education services to meet those academic, social, behavioral, and future needs. You know, every student has their own individualized plan. While they're still on the school district roster, so it's a benefit of the district because it decreases their dropout rate and it also increases their graduation rate.
So everybody wins.
It's a win for everybody.
The student, finds their potential. The district raises their graduation quota, it sounds like a wonderful, wonderful program. Can you give us some examples of other young people who might have had success with the program and where they are now?
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly, we have students come to us with all different types of challenges and issues, whether they are from social pressures or gang-related issues, disregard for school authority, challenges with substance abuse, or just anxiety issues as well. So a few more examples would be we had one young lady come to us because there were some traumatic situations that occurred within her family. She became homeless and was living literally on the streets. And homeless children, of course, you're aware that they really can't go to school unless they have an address. So we helped this young lady find a residence and for her to come to school and re-enroll in her school district. That's one example, and she's doing quite well today. She finished college, and her passion was art, and she's doing very, very well. We had other folks, a few boys, I can tell you that were feeling the pressure of gang-related situations.
Yes.
And that's really heavy, and especially in the inner city, because, you know, when our youth start to become teenagers, their social network are their peers. And so they really strive to be accepted and want to be a part of that family structure. And I do say that it's a family structure with the social peers, and you know, so some decisions can lead to down the road to the wrong end result, what you're not looking for. And so some of the kids who come to us are really feeling that pressure, and they need some additional assistance to not succumb to what the gangs would expect of them, initiation rites and different things like that.
Well, the fact that you're making such strides and is really a tribute to the program that you've established. Can you give us an example or some understanding of? You mentioned what Phase 4 is. Can you give us a little bit more about what you mean by social and academic? Give us the four aspects of Phase 4.
Sure, absolutely. Well, we work with our academics because for them to earn their high school diploma, they need to meet the academic requirements of the school district. So each child comes to us and we know what it is, what courses they need and where they are, and we do our own assessments as well as working with the school district counselors. The behavioral issues, of course, is just that. It's how do they behave, how do they react, how do they respond, how's all the outward expression. How is it occurring, and is it appropriate, and as well as the social aspect in addition to the behavior, because we always try to explain to the students it's better if you have control of yourself from within than to have to be controlled from without, you know, outside of you. You don't want anybody else having to control your behaviors and your social interaction. You need to learn how to do that, where it's appropriate, what's appropriate.
Now, let me ask you, do you deal with students who have learning problems, who learn differently, who have visual problems, who have not learned to read or things of that sort?
We do, and oftentimes that's a lot of the frustration that we see with the kids when they come to us, because, you know, we have students who have special needs. They would have IEPs, individualized education plans, and a large percentage of our students have IEPs. But I have special education certified teachers as well as other content areas on staff at all of our sites. So we are able to meet those individual needs on a more personalized scale because we have a smaller classroom setting.
When you say smaller, how many young people are in a class?
It's about, we may serve 100 students in one session in a day, but the staff-student ratio is around, I would say, 10 to 12 students to a staff person.
So that they feel that they have more individual attention.
Yes, they get a lot of individualized attention.
Well, I think what you're doing is absolutely exciting, but people may not know, they may think that you're meeting the school itself. Where do you hold your classes with Phase 4?
Oh, okay. that is a pretty unique setting in its own right. We go where the kids are comfortable, and the majority of my learning centers are in mall locations. For example, Harrisburg. We're in the Harrisburg Mall on Paxton Street in Philadelphia, Northeast. We're at the Liberty Plaza site. And we choose the mall setting, and it's a learning environment, very professional, welcoming learning environment with high expectations, but in a setting that is neutral so that the parents feel very comfortable, the students feel comfortable, the districts do as well. And it works extremely well.
Well, I think it sounds more inviting. Where are you going? I'm going to the mall.
It is inviting, and it also affords the students more opportunity and exposure because within the mall vendors, the retail stores, whatever else is nearby, whether it's car dealerships or restaurants, we partner with those agencies and those businesses so that we can help the students have internships, job shadowing experiences, some career opportunity exposure. The same with the military. You know, we have a very strong partnership with the military, especially the Army, and we work very closely with them, with military as well as the business partners, so that the kids can have as much exposure as possible so that they can see that they're only limited as much as what they limit themselves.
So you really help them to take charge of their lives.
We do.
And recognize that they are in a position to make a decision for themselves.
Absolutely.
To either find themselves and work hard on the areas that they need help in, and you provide the help. That sounds very exciting, Terry.
Thank you, Ellie. Absolutely. We are very excited. And my staff and I, we always tell the students, it's not so much what happens to you in life, it's how you handle what happens to you in life.
How you take charge of your life.
Absolutely.
How amazing. How absolutely amazing. And not only that, that it works.
It does work.
It works.
Yes.
And I think, you know, it's interesting. If you have the experience of the mall and all that offers, you know, after school and you provide internships and things of that sort, it gives them a place of being normal. Whereas in the somehow or other, why we don't mean to, it's certainly not an endeavor on the part of schools. When we help our students in the regular school, sometimes they feel like they're looked upon. They leave the class or they're in a special class and they feel ostracized rather than part of. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. We tell all of our students, each one who comes to us because every interview is done individually, and we sit with them and we say, you have a clean slate when you come here.
Ah.
A clean slate. We don't care what anyone else says back there, not that we don't know about what maybe referred you to us, because that's really important that we know that. But they have a clean slate, a new beginning. They have, everything is brand new.
And how about the families? Are the parents involved?
As much as possible. We do encourage the parents. We have, with the breakdown of many of the family structure issues that occur these days, it's a challenge at times to have family involved. But what we've found is we've had more success recently, I would say in the last 2 to 3 years, of truly having families reunite and feeling support. And phase four, we help the families as much as we help their children. So sometimes it's a reuniting them with their families. Sometimes it's just making certain that their electric isn't shut off in the dead of winter whenever they need that help.
Before we go further, I want to have you, how do people get in touch with you, Terry?
Oh, okay, well, through our website is one way, and that is www.phase4learningcenter.org. They can also phone me directly at 724-462-1241, or they can phone the corporate office, 412-650-9004, and someone, you know, either I or someone there will help them.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Terry Sweeker-Reed, CEO and founder of Phase 4 Learning Centers, for sharing with us how, if you have a dream, you can make it come true. As Rodgers and Hammerstein said in South Pacific, if you don't have a dream, how do you make a dream come true? Thank you for sharing your personal story of not only taking charge of your life and making your dream come true, but making the dream since 2004 through 2014 Phase 4 Learning Centers of over 1,500 students who have earned their dream of achieving a high school diploma and the Phase 4 Learning Center's achievement of a 98% graduation rate. Thank you for helping us to see that if we have a dream, we can make it happen by taking charge of our lives. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.